take your seats and turn with me to Romans chapter 1. As we pause a second time in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, 17. We come to the climax of our service as God speaks to us once again through His Word. Let us accept that also in humbleness, knowing that His Word never returns to Him void and will always ask a response of us. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want to be unaware, brothers. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters. Brothers, what translation is this? You know, sometimes I make a mistake, and because I copy my text in my script here, and then I don't change the translation. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read from the start. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Among you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I made mention of you, always in my prayer, making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented thus far in order that I might obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So far, the reading of God's word. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, you will remember I said that the session has chosen Romans chapter 1, 16, and especially the words, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, as our verse of the year for 2024. We have focused on verse 17 last week. We have looked at the context. We have first figured out what is this gospel that Paul is talking about, before we now come back to verse 16 to say, okay, well, this is the gospel that we are not ashamed of. So I reversed it a little bit, but I hope for good reason. When I think about these words, it makes me think that these words, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, really adds a personal magnifying glass to our own faith and the way of life. These words make me ask, but what is it that I believe? What is the gospel really? And for what purpose do I believe? For what purpose do I believe the gospel? It challenges, in other words, our convictions and how strongly we feel about the gospel. And last week we have discovered once again what this gospel is. You remember first we looked at the bad news of our terrible misery. A misery that every person is born into. Every one of us inherited his sin, the sin from Adam and Eve. Romans chapter 5 is just one passage where we see how Paul reminds us of this truth with these words. He says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. So this sin nature we are born with affects also every faculty of our existence. There is nothing in us that make us deserving of God's favor. And it is not only our inherited sin that makes us guilty before the Lord. No, because of our sinful nature, we commit sins against God that increase our guilt before Him daily. And we've also seen, because of this guilt before the Lord, we really by nature deserve His eternal punishment. And the final aspect of this bad news is that no one and nothing can save us from this estate. But then we also heard the good news. And that is that God planned and executed our salvation. Someone had to appease God's wrath over our sins. Blood had to flow in order to make atonement and accomplish the propitiation. And to accomplish that, God sent His own Son to be the required righteousness that He demanded. He paid with His life. He covered us with His blood. He reconciled us with God. And He gave us His righteousness, a righteousness we receive by faith. And it's then after that that you feel like you want to say, Amen. Yet there is more to the context of verse 16 than meets the eye. Paul definitely had a hard time ministering in Rome. As we heard last week, Rome was the capital. But it was the capital with the pulse, filled with the academic and philosophic high brass who had all the answers for the world and its problems. Why would they listen to Paul? Nero was the emperor in Rome at that point. And evil has grown extra large in this man, and his degenerated mind just spilled over to the city to fill it with even more evil and ungodly living and lifestyles. The Jews were seen as a subhuman race, and the Romans were taught to hate and mistreat and even enslave them. So I ask you, why would they listen to Paul? To Paul, who preached about a man who was a Jew and claimed to be God himself. A man who called himself the Savior of the world. A man who lived a humble life. Whose death on a Roman cross was a disgrace in the eyes of the world. And then Paul even said that he was raised from the dead. Yes, indeed, for proud and evil people, the message of the gospel made no sense. For them, the gospel is veiled, as Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 4. It is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Yes, their minds were blinded. They built their own little kingdoms to find solace and happiness and pleasure in it. And so it is with everyone who lives without Christ. And yet it is to these people that Paul brought the message of the gospel. He says in verse 14, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. He had no choice. He had to present the gospel, and he was not ashamed of it. He had to bring it to them. He was called in order to do so by God Himself. Yes, and even though it was foolish to do so in the eyes of the world, it was this calling that forced him to continue. And the reason was that Paul knew that he was not selling something to the world. And you immediately would ask me, what do I mean by that? Well, I believe that too many out there today who appear to be servants of God and ministers of the gospel are actually trying to be salesmen of the gospel. They have a whole marketing strategy and plan and rehearse every word and every gesture because it just might impact the listener to the point of buying into the corporation. I believe that those trying to sell the gospel don't understand the true power of the gospel. I myself am not called to be a salesman of the gospel. I am presenting and preaching the gospel to you, Grace Presbyterian Church. I'm obligated to do so because I was called to do so. And you again accept the gospel because you love the gospel. But you must also remember that you must still continue to accept it when you hear things the Lord wants you to hear, even when you don't want to hear it. But even to the unbelieving world, it is not our duty to sell the gospel. We don't have to make additions or repackage the gospel so that it appears more attractive to the world. The gospel will never be attractive to the natural man. Never. The people of the world hate the gospel as they hated Jesus Christ himself. We see it very clearly in our own society. Only 2 decades ago, a preacher described America's culture as follows, and I quote him, "It is true that today's culture exhibits a certain veneer of religious tolerance, so that well-bred people are careful to scorn Christians openly. But the world is still the world, and hostility to God is always present." This was only 2 decades ago. Today, Christians are scorned openly. The American culture has shed itself from the veneer of religious tolerance. The only ones that are expected to be tolerant now are Christians. Because if we are not tolerant, we are actually hateful. Hateful if we don't accept every degenerate thought and desire that comes up in the heart of man. And we've seen that it was not much different in the time of the Apostle Paul. And it was in this lost Roman culture that he continued his work faithfully by presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ, which he was not ashamed of. And that's what you and I need to continue to do. But there's another reason why he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Not only because he knew that he was not selling something, but also because he knew what the power of the gospel is. Now, if you look at verse 16, you will very clearly see the passage does not say that the gospel has power. That is also true. But this passage says the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, Jew first and also the Greek. You see, Paul knew that what he was bringing to the world. He was not trying to be some kind of spiritual masochist or entertainer. He did not have to add gimmicks to create some power in an effect in the gospel. Now, God has revealed the power of the gospel to Paul himself. He experienced that when he struck him with blindness and heard Jesus ask him, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And on that day, everything he believed in fell apart. His whole system of beliefs, the way he was striving to please God, was suddenly in vain. Why? Because he was still without Christ. And without Christ, he was not only an enemy of the church, he was also an enemy of Jesus Christ. But then in his mercy, God led his servant to salvation. You know, you sit here and I stand here this morning because we have confessed that we were also led to salvation. And today you and I must remember that it happened because of the power of the gospel. Once we were blind, but now we can see. Once we were dead, but now we are alive. We are a new creation with a new identity. And that happened because of the transforming power of the gospel. Or perhaps you are here or are listening in this morning and you still have not experience salvation. Remember then, the gospel is not only powerful, but it is also for everyone. The scripture says, everyone who believes. First for the Jew, and then also for the Gentile. The gospel is for everybody, for you as well. And thus, each and every one of us have to listen further. Because it is by God's power by which He breaks down walls and fences and strongholds that do not exist for His glory. And because it is His power, you and I must be very thankful that the Word of God came into our lives and transformed us. Remember Paul's words in Romans chapter 10, where he says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And then he concludes, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Even in our lives, it was all from God. From the start to the finish, He sends, He calls, He transforms. That's what He's still doing today. You know, the word power, for the word for power in Greek is the word dynamis. And that's where our words, you just hear it, our word dynamite or dynamic come from. And it is such a descriptive word to explain to us the changing power of the gospel. You think dynamite takes away mountains so that highways could be built. When God comes into our lives as sinners with the gospel, it's like dynamite that blows up all the things that we first believe in. The self-made kingdoms, our worldly securities, and all the things we put our hope and trust in. It transforms people. It transforms people from their addictions and set them free. Whether it is addictions to sex and pornography, whether it is their identity confusion, which we see so often these days. Whether it is their belief that they don't need any God. It even blows away the misconceptions that you could save yourself or could please God in some way or another with the good you do to earn His favor. Yes, it brings you on your knees to realize how dependent you are and how much you need a Savior. Remember when Jesus went into the synagogue one time, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He anointed me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the changing power, the saving power of the gospel. And let us not forget that God also saves us from His wrath that will come upon those who have rejected God's only provision for their sin, Jesus Christ Himself. So my last point is, how about you? If your life is still not transformed, all you have to do is to believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The word says the gospel is the power of God for everyone who believes. But remember, it is not our belief that turns the gospel into the power of God. It is the gospel as the power of God that makes us believe. But nevertheless, God says it is through faith that we receive His righteousness. So believe once again the gospel. Place your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Listen to His call. Use the means of grace that He is using in your life to continue to build you up. And as believers who already experience the transforming power of the gospel, let us continue to bow before our God. Let us serve Him with more zeal. Let us be thankful for how our lives were transformed by the Holy Spirit. Let us praise God for the power of the gospel. And let us continue to proclaim the gospel wherever we go. The church has become silent because it became ashamed of the gospel. Let us remember, we don't have to sell anything to anybody. Just minister it to them. Just proclaim the truth that Jesus Christ died on a cross to save us and reconcile us with God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come before You, thank You that we are able to say amen this morning. Because with those words, with this word, we indeed affirm that it is sure and that what You have proclaimed to us is the truth. Oh Lord, we ask You to forgive us that we so often have been ashamed of the gospel because we forget what it is. We forget that it is not an instrument in our hands, but an instrument in Your hands to bring those whom You have called unto Yourself to Yourself, to blow away the evil and that which is wrong and sinful, and to create in us the kingdom where Jesus Christ Himself rules. Father, thank You that that is what the church is. Continue to rule over us. Continue to strengthen us in our faith. Continue to grow us in our gratitude for our salvation. Lord, thank You for the power of the gospel who changed our hearts. Would You lead us through this week as people unashamed. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing hymn number 342. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee.
Which flowed in your sin, but God.
Receive God's blessing and go from here in peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.